The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thanks for joining the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. Joining me today are certified financial planner Stephen Lucan and our founder, John E. Sestina & Company. All right, that about says it all.
You remember me, Tracy?
I'm out. I was doing so well there. It's great to be here with you both.
Nice to be here.
It's nice to see you together, you know, have a good conversation about what we do every day. You know, two great kingpins here side by side. And I'm excited about the topic today because it is something that a lot of people don't have a full understanding about. It's what we do every day. You guys are certainly the experts on the subject, and that's fee-only planning, fee-only financial planning, and the landscape, what that means from the client's perspective. And we, you know, you do this every day, so it's eat, sleep, drink, and breathe the subject. So, you know, you're going to might roll your eyes at my questions, so bear with me as I come from the every person's point of view.
John's never had those questions before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to go read about it.
Yeah, since 1957, eh?
1956, yeah.
You've been talking about fee-only financial.
1965, yes,
uh-huh. Fee-only financial planning. All right, so I know you can offer up a great perspective to help people understand what this looks like, so let's kind of dive into the conversation. As we begin, I want to kind of talk about the definition and the principles. So, John, let's start with you. We're going to hit the core principles that talk about fee-only advisors.
Well, the challenge with this is everyone is calling themselves a fee-only financial planner right now, so this definition should be helpful. First of all, fee-only financial planning means that the advisor receives no compensation of any kind whatsoever, no dinners, no cars, no trips, not even a piece of the deal other than what the client pays them in a fee.
No free dinners.
Nothing.
Well, there's a lot of that going around. There's a lot of free dinners going around. So how does that happen? Do you pay for that out of your fees, I would assume, if an advisor is offering you a free dinner?
No, what you're saying is like the groups that offer a free dinner, those are commission-based.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. That's a form of
commission. Right, we'll get there.
Yep.
Stephen, how does fee-only financial planning kind of differ from compensation models out there?
How does it differ? One, as John said, it's a direct fee paid from the client to the advisor. There's nothing behind the scenes that's going on from the mutual fund or the life insurance policy or the annuity that's getting paid to the advisor. So fee only is strictly a one-to-one relationship between the advisor and the client. Gotcha. In form of compensation.
And you don't hear this term in the marketing anywhere. When you're watching the PGA tournament or Super Bowl, you don't hear anybody talking about it. I didn't know anything about it until I started working here. But let's talk about the term fiduciary. What is it? Let's help people understand what a critical component it is to the relationship from client to advisor. John, do you want to hit that one?
I'll let Stephen. He's doing okay.
So what is a fiduciary?
Well, the irony is this word came into existence probably 5, 10 years ago, maybe less than 10 years ago. But it's been in existence ever since fee-only financial planning came about, because what it does is it means the advisor is responsible directly for the relationship as far as their representative. We represent the client. In fee-only financial planning, we always have represented the clients, where in the other form of advisors, they may be tied or representing the company they work for, the insurance company, the annuity company, the mutual fund company. So it's basically, who do you represent? And our, by definition, fee-only financial planning created that fiduciary environment where we represent the client. We don't represent anything else. So it's about representation.
Right. You should be operating in the best interest of the client at all times. That's the big deal. So you don't want to have somebody who's, maybe they have a brokerage firm on the side, and they say they're fee only, and then they use their brokerage firm to place all the trades for the stocks and mutual funds and so on and so forth.
So no conflict of interest.
There can be no conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
That's the goal, mm-hmm. is to eliminate all conflict. It's hard, but that's the goal at mm-hmm. hand.
Client is at the top of the food chain.
Correct.
Yeah. Let's talk about explaining the concept of the fee-only financial planning and how it influences the advisor-client relationship. Is there anything that we haven't talked about yet that kind of addresses that?
Can I go first? Go. Because yeah. it's the misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Again, even when I met John, I thought I knew what he did, and I had absolutely, knowing, looking back, I had no idea, right? And most people don't understand what financial planning is to begin with, and they think you are an investment advisor. That's usually where it goes to. So a lot of it is the misunderstanding of what financial planning is, and let alone what fee-only financial planning is, because people who, as John said, call themselves financial planners have basically misconstrued the word fee-only. They use the word fee-based, mm-hmm. which is not the same.
Yeah.
So as soon as fee-only came about, oh, let's call it fee-based, and they're completely separate types of financial planning. It's all centered around how you're compensated.
And I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but to give some context, let's just kind of name the different compensation methods out there. When you're looking for a financial advisor, somebody to handle your money, there's all kinds of people out there claiming to be financial advisors. But let's talk about the different certifications just very quickly, and how that ties into fee only, why it's important.
Well, the certifications are almost irrelevant to this piece because it's how you say, how do they, if you represent the client, you're going to get a check from the client. If you get, you set up a system whereby, well, maybe you're getting 1% of the assets out there, or you're trading on something other than a stated amount. The client needs to know what he's going to pay for the services for the next year. And it's not just investing. And even in your explanation, I think you slipped in their investments. So investments are irrelevant to the concept. Financial planning is comprehensive. We deal with all sorts of things. We deal with people have children who are special needs. We have widows. I remember one of my favorite clients was a widow who had maybe $50,000 in assets. I think, Stephen, you might have worked on that lady. And she was a financial planning client. It's not just investments. It's about your financial life, your whole life, and all that's involved. That means your family, the associations you're working with, all of this stuff. And as someone comes to our process, they're often surprised, I think, to find out all the areas we can help them with. Going to buy a new house? We can help you do that. If we were not fee-only, a lot of people who are working on a investment percentage, they don't want to tell you to pay off the mortgage on your house because that takes away from the investment. That lowers their charge. We don't do that. So those kind of conversations are so relevant.
I even had another advisor who's a fee-only advisor, but they charge based on assets under management. I asked, why don't you recommend this specific type of investment? And he said, because it would be invested somewhere else and I couldn't charge against it.
Wow.
So even in the fee-only realm, there's conflict as far as what is true fee-only, because assets under management, we don't agree with that versus a flat fee. So again, there's conflict and challenges even within the fee-only industry that maybe need to be considered.
Yeah, I want to jump back a little bit to sort of answer my question, because there are different certifications, and they stretch across the industry. So our advisors are certified financial planners, but there are CPAs, there are CFAs, you know, there are people who license specifically for insurance planning, mm-hmm. investment planning. So don't people have to consider that in addition to the fee compensation method?
Yes. Well, again, for the financial planning, as John said, it's CFP is a certification. How you charge is a different methodology mm-hmm. within the CFP. Mm-hmm. So you said CPA, that's accounting. Mm-hmm. There's the insurance designations as well. So each designation has a different form of specialty, mm-hmm. but a CFP is a certification for financial planning. Then the underlying mess is how do they charge and how are they compensated?
The reason I bring that up is circling back to what John was talking about. If you have a certified financial planner, you have someone who's a generalist, who has the ability to be holistic and comprehensive, right? So the fee only attaches itself to that mindset very nicely.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But there are CFPs out there who are stockbrokers and insurance people and all kinds of things. So you can't go by designations. That's mm-hmm. been our challenge all along. Mm-hmm. You know, for years I didn't get the CFP designation because I didn't want to be associated with that crowd. But after a time I was talked into getting one. Now that I'm retired, I retired from the CFP. But a certification is, I'm going to say, irrelevant. What's relevant is the person you're dealing with and whether they're dealing comprehensively with you.
Okay.
And not locked into some designation.
Right, and the process, mm-hmm. right? What is the what process are you putting the client through? What experience? What conversations will you have? Mm-hmm. To John's point, it's not just investments. Today alone, I had conversations about estate planning, home auto insurance, umbrella insurance. There's all taxes. Today's conversations, very few of it was centered around investing. So the client experience is so important that they're being put through a program mm-hmm. that is a comprehensive program, not just focused on an IRA or the investment allocation.
I keep trying to dot the I. Yeah. I'll just share a personal story. So forgive me if I'm kind of stretching right. this out. I'm trying to pull something out and I'm not articulating. I know somebody who does not work with a CFP and is not a fee-only structure. So if we are trying to help people understand in this giant bag of letter soup and details where to start from scratch, some of the red flags might be the certification. If you've got somebody who is specifically designed to be investment focused, that might not be a comprehensive experience. Is that accurate to say?
Or, you know, again, you've got to get into what the person is actually doing. Stephen said it. I always say it's not about investing. And yet you hear all the ads on the television and the radio. They're all talking about, give us your investments.
Right.
And they're showing you investment returns and so on and so forth. It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
A good planner can get you to your goal without investing a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the planning that makes it happen, not the investments.
Right. You're making my point for me. Okay, enough said. So I think we've drummed into the ground what the main differences are between fee-only and commission-based models, unless you have anything you want to add.
No, we'll keep going.
All right.
This is such a muddy field because people can put together a deal, for example. Many, many years ago, I put a lot of investment deals together, and there was always some money that you could get for recommending a client buy that deal. You get a piece of it and say, no, I don't want that. That'd be not fee only.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes just be you do a proposition with a investment company or real estate or whatever it is, and they say, well, if you help us with this, we'll give you 5%. See, that's not fee only. So you have to pay attention mm-hmm. to what's going on out there. That's why our battle's been so difficult.
Yeah. I think it seems logical to me, but I'm going to ask the question, how do the differences really impact the advice that the clients receive? Just at the end.
Comes down to who you represent. Yeah. Again, if you're representing a client, that's all you're worried about. How does it impact them? How is that going to impact their financial plan? It's not about impacting me. It's not about impacting the other deal maker. I don't care what the other agent or the person pitching the product or the deal says. If it's good for the client, it's good for mm-hmm. their financial right. plan, we implement it.
Got it.
Irrelevant of cost.
See, we have clients who have investment accounts outside of our management, which is fantastic because we're not about the investment. But we do monitor those investments by the other person so the client is informed. And so often, not so often, many times we find experiences through that other person that are more costly than they can imagine. I remember sitting down with an investment advisor, a broker, and a widow And I was challenged him about what is she paying you for your service? Mm-hmm. He wouldn't give a number.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept saying, well, percentage or mm-hmm. it's not cost. And she never saw the difference. So she stuck with the guy, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have been the investment advisor with us, because it doesn't matter to us who's invested in money. What matters is she's reaching her goal with all the things she has available.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about industry trends and growth. I want to talk about the demand for fee-only financial planning services and the growing trend among advisors to transition to fee-only models. John, since you started in the industry, there's been a huge trend to transition to fee-only models as compared to the very beginning of things. Do you think that's because of the fact, do you think the factors that are driving consumer preferences for transparency and fiduciary standards, or do you think it's something else, marketing, just plain marketing competition?
Can
what
I
do you think
first?
It is?
Go ahead.
No, this is a big deal with me within the fee-only industry. The reason more advisors are becoming fee-only advisors, they changed the definition of fee-only. In the old days, assets under management was not part of the fee-only environment. Now it is. So again, in the old days, you charge a flat fee for advice. Now they said, we need to generate more members, fee-only members. Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
They allowed other people to come in. Those who charged assets under management were allowed into the fee-only environment. So it's growing, but it's more or less people are going into it. And I had one other advisor say, well, don't you want to include, be more inclusive? And I said, well, then just allow commission-based, because why is commission better than or worse than assets under management?
Mm-hmm.
So the fee-only industry, John was one of the founding members of NAPFA, which is the Association for Fee-Only Financial Planning. And I don't want to use the word, but they've messed with it. They've muddied it up more. And it's disappointing because they just wanted members. They
mm-hmm.
didn't want to stick to the foundation of what the founding members really wanted to go after, and
mm-hmm.
that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's fee-only, maybe.
Yeah, because fee-only is hourly, fee-only is flat fee, fee-only is assets under management, hybrid. There's all different kinds, and it's disappointing because it's gotten confusing, and I don't think we can toothpaste is out of the tube. I don't think we can get it back in at this
right.
point.
So what you're saying, and this is kind of akin to what I asked earlier to try to nail down from the average person's mindset to understand where to start, is make sure that they're holistic, they're comprehensive, make sure that they're true fiduciaries, make sure that you know how you're paying your fees.
What kind of service?
Do your research.
What kind of service do they provide? What questions are they asking you? Are you the one asking the questions, or are they the ones asking you the questions? Are they proactive with their services? Proactive service takes time, and that means there's less potential for money from the advisor side. So that their many motive there is not to spend time, because that means it's less money in their pockets.
Yeah.
So the time you're spending, because if we meet with a client 4, 5, 6 times a year, that's time. You can only meet with so many clients. There's only so many hours in a day. So what kind of service are you getting?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of questions are they asking? Are they asking just questions about risk tolerance? Or are they actually asking, what are your goals? What kind of estate do you want to build and leave, and your heirs, and health insurance, and workplace benefits? Goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the service you should be demanding from an advisor.
And where this all got going and all these people became excited was, of course, from my book, Fee-Only Financial Planning, How to Make It Work for You. And I've had many people tell me over the years that book has helped them get started. So it's still in print, I think. You can order it.
Sure is.
And it give you an outline, an understanding of more what Steve and I are trying to share. Implementation is the big part of what we do. And a lot of folks used to argue, well, if you're fee-only, you cannot implement. What they meant, you couldn't place a product. But what we do more about implementing, taking the client by the hand, walking them through the process, getting them through the briars so they get what they really are looking for, because often they don't know. And so we can help them do that.
And we stimulate thought. That's the part of it.
That's a great
point. Many
people
don't think about what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can plant a seed, and something simple as, okay, you're in your 60s. Have you thought about your forever home? Is mm-hmm. this your forever home? Well, you have 3 flights of stairs or 4 flights of stairs. Is this something you're going to want to navigate when you're 75, 80 years old? So again, being proactive and having these discussions are so important because most people don't think about it until it's reactionary and you're forced into it. And that's what I think a good advisor would do is be proactive in asking these kind of questions.
Yeah, great points. The regulatory landscape is always really important from the client side. Exploring regulatory environment governing fee-only financial planning. I'm kind of reading this, including licensing requirements, professional certifications, and so forth. Can you provide an overview of the regulatory environment governing fee-only financial planning? Is that really pretty much covered under the fiduciary terminology?
By definition, yes. Mm-hmm. By definition, it is. Go ahead, John.
No, I will get myself in trouble with this.
Yeah, yeah, be okay. Careful, please.
Yeah.
All right.
You're always warning me to be careful.
We got John to bite his tongue. That's a victory for today.
We'll just skip that part. Let's just move on. When people are vetting firms to work with, they need to consider the client benefits and considerations, like you've been talking about, pretty fervently.
Most importantly, they should interview multiple firms. I challenge anybody to do that. Go interview multiple firms, multiple people. What are you going to get? What's it going to cost? How transparent is it? And I'll challenge anybody behind that we're second to none. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. I believe that, right? So yeah, interview as many as you can. It takes time, but a lot of it is the same process.
And review them in person. I know we're into the Zoom world, but the difference is you will get a vibe when you sit across from the person trying to be your advisor, more than you can get on Zoom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do it in person. Mm-hmm. See their environment. It's important to see their environment. Maybe they have a lavish office with crystal floors and diamond chairs and all that other stuff to impress you. Well, what does that tell you? Maybe you want that, but what does that tell you? Or maybe they have a junky office and a hole in the wall or something like that. It's important to see their environment so you can get a better reading of who they are.
Great advice. So the takeaway here is to be well-researched when you start to build your relationship with your advisor. Make sure you understand all of the aspects of the service and ask the pointed questions, right? Make a list of your questions. Learn from the conversations that you have with each firm so that you're smarter for the next. And get into the brass tacks about what they offer and what you're going to be paying for the services and how you're paying it, right?
Yeah, a question to ask is, what question haven't I asked that I should be asking? Simplest question. Right. And maybe the advisor's been listening,
then look at their face.
Yeah. And the advisor should have a bunch of questions for you that you didn't ask. So.
Right.
Is there anything else we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
Well, the questionnaire you are obviously going to receive from this person, whomever it is, may be helpful because if it's all about the investment you own and what is your goal and how much money do you need when you retire? I know those are common questions, but those aren't the relative questions. It is important you have an amount of money you can be successful with and retire and be comfortable, but I guess it's a soft touch. I've always had a personal touch and a personal relationship with people, and I think that's what's critical. You've got to get the sense that this is a complete person who's going to give you a complete job and not just deal with your investments.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. If you need financial planning guidance, please reach out for a complimentary consultation. We hope you're going to come back and learn more about financial planning insights from our people here. Thank you for joining in. We appreciate your time, and thanks to you both. Nice to see you both.
Yeah, nice to be here.
We are Managing to Be Wealthy.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.